My niece, Maggie, turned 14 yesterday. Early in the morning, I sent Maggie a text message to say happy birthday and to remind her how much she and my husband, John, love her. Later in the morning, the news reports began to come in about the horrific massacre that occurred at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. As George said in his beautiful prayer, 11 dead, 6 injured, including some of the first responders who put themselves in harm's way. This after a week when packages with bombs were sent to news stations and offices of political leaders around the country. My niece Maggie is Jewish. Last October, we gathered with her in New York City to celebrate her bat mitzvah. We attended Friday night Shabbat services and the Saturday special bat mitzvah service at the beautiful Central Synagogue in Midtown Manhattan, a place where Maggie and my brother and his wife and our nephew are active members. As we arrived at the synagogue for the services, NYPD stood on the steps of the entrance in full riot gear. And upon entering the building, we each had to go through metal detectors and have our bags searched. It was chilling to have this experience as we were attending a religious service, and it also made me extremely sad that this is the reality that Maggie and we live in. Today we conclude our fall worship series on doing good. Since early September, we have focused on Scripture's call for us to do good, to show love in the world. We began with the parable of the talents, and we asked the question, what will we do with the talents, the resources that God has given us? How will we show love? How will we make a difference in the world? Inspired by Mary Kaiser, a woman from our own community who founded an organization called A Kinder World, I'm In. And inspired by a 4-year-old superhero named Austin P. Rhine, who uses his allowance to feed the homeless, we handed out $100 bills to over 50 volunteers, and I challenged the volunteers to use the money to do good in our community, our nation, our world. We're going to hear back from the volunteers in early December, and at that time, we'll also celebrate all the good they are doing as they share with us stories of the difference they have chosen to make with God's money. Each week during this series, we've also been focusing on a sentence of the quote attributed to John Wesley that is on the front of your bulletin and displayed here in our sanctuary. Do all the good you can by all the means you can. And today we end that quote with as long as ever you can. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, encouraged us to do as much good as we can, as long as ever we can. He called on Methodists of every age to live by 3 simple rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. And in the wake of this past week's unacceptable violence, hatred, and evil, how we need this reminder and this word again. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God as long as ever you can. In our scripture reading for today, the Apostle Paul addresses the topic of how to endure suffering and how to cope with evil, it is difficult to endure suffering, even if one truly believes it's only a passing phase prior to the coming of better times. Knowing this, Paul assures his readers that God is also aware of how difficult earthly suffering is. God is not distant from us, Paul says. God is not separated from us. Even if we do not know how to pray, if we are unable to express our needs to God, the Spirit, Paul writes earlier in chapter 8, says this, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Even if we become completely inarticulate, especially the times when we have no words, God is immediately aware of our needs through that spiritual connection with us. God is with us, and God is with those who have faced evil this past week, the families who've lost loved ones, the faith community that has been shattered by violence and hatred. God is there, and God is here with us. And Paul goes on to say in verse 28 of that same chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to God's purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to God's purpose. This does not mean that bad things won't happen to good people. It also does not mean that everything happens for a reason. Rather, what it does mean is this. No matter what evil things happen, no matter what, God is working through them for good. No matter what evil things happen, God is working through them for good. Now, I don't know about you, but I am tired of getting into this pulpit and talking about mass shootings. I'm tired of the violence that plagues our society. I'm tired of looking for words to speak when yet another horrific display of hate and fear comes upon us. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired of it. And yet, we must not give in to the evil. We must not give in to despair and throw up our hands and say, there is nothing we can do. We can't do that. Instead, we need to remain steadfast, doing all the good we can, in all the places we can, at all the times we can, with all the people we can, and trusting that somehow God will bring good out of this evil and this suffering. We probably won't have the opportunity this week to make a direct difference in what happened in that synagogue in Pittsburgh yesterday, but we do have the opportunity to do all the good we can right here around us, in this congregation, in our community, across Metro Detroit. And you never know. You never know what kind of ripple effect our willingness to continue to do good can have. The composer of that hymn, that song that the choir just sang and the dancers danced to, the composer of Here I Am, Lord, is named Dan Shute. Back in 1981, Mr. Shute was a 31-year-old Jesuit studying theology in Berkeley, California, when one of his friends asked him if he would write a song for an upcoming diaconate ordination mass. It was Wednesday, and the ordination service, the mass, was on Saturday. They're students. This is what happens. They do everything at the last minute. Mr. Shute was not sure he could do it, but he said yes to his friend, and then he sat with his guitar in his apartment, and he prayed. He prayed that God would give him the words and the music. And he finished the piece just a few hours before the mass started. The result is this beloved hymn of the church, which has had a huge impact on people all around the world. Mr. Shute never imagined that this song would become so popular. He never thought about what kind of impact it would have on others. The truth is, we never know when a little act of kindness may in fact be the thing that tips the scales for goodness, that changes the world with love, that helps God overcome evil. But when we offer kindness to others, God often works through us to make a difference and even to change the world. Mr. Shute said that he's been surprised by all the ways this little song have impacted people. He's received letters from people all over the world about this song. One of them came from one of our service persons who had been on the front lines in Afghanistan. This captain wrote to Mr. Shute and said, "The troops would gather in a field for mass near where they were fighting, and the chaplain, our chaplain, would lead us in singing, 'Here I am, Lord.' The servicemen and women who had grown up with the song could all sing it by heart. The others learned it." The captain went on in his letter to say, "We stood here in this place where we're asked to serve our country, and we also fear for our own lives. And we sing, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Mr. Shute has also received other letters from people suffering terminal illnesses or from their spouses who say the hymn has helped them face their hardships with the hope that God accompanies them. Their spiritual journey is to say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm going to walk through this journey in my life with you." When asked what he thinks about these letters, Mr. Shute, the composer of this hymn, replied and said this, "There's a whole constellation of feelings that surround it for me. I feel so grateful that God has chosen that song to accompany people through so many moments of their lives. I didn't plan that. I didn't know that the song was going to be special. I was aware that God is doing something beyond me." And when I get the letters from people, it's also a very humbling thing because it's something way, way far beyond what I can do. This is true for us as well. No matter what happens in our lives and in our world, we must not forget that in all things, God is working for good and calling us to do all the good we can as long as ever we can. We owe it. We owe it to the victims of the Tree of Life Synagogue to do God's work of spreading love, showing love, and doing good. We also must not forget that our everyday acts of love and kindness can be used by God to make a profound impact for good on others. In fact, they may even be part of the way that God is overcoming evil with good. Yesterday afternoon, a few church members gathered here to hang a new piece of art in our church. Now, it's not here in the sanctuary. It's part of the renovations of our children's ministry area. And if you'd like to see this amazing piece of art yourself, you can go to the stairwell across from our elevator. It's down that hallway. Or you can view it online, as a picture of this artwork has been posted on the Narden Park Facebook page. What you will see in person or online is an 8-foot piece of art with a very simple yet profound message. It has a large, beautifully colored heart, and it simply says, "Love." Love in big letters. The message that our children and teachers see as they go to their classrooms, love. How do we overcome suffering and evil? By doing all the good we can, as long as ever we can, by trusting that God is working for good and calling us to show love, no matter what. do no harm, do good, stay in love with God as long as ever you can. Amen.